Just a few miles west of Laramie, you can pull off the road, and in the long light of a late afternoon, it's possible to discern a pair of parallel depressions extending indefinitely across the prairie. These are the ghosts of the Overland Trail. We view such remnants with romance, forgetting the terrible suffering of the pioneers. The land has swallowed the meager graves and jettisoned refuse of the prairie schooners, while along Cape Cod, the ocean vomits up, to borrow Henry David Thoreau's phrase, human remains in the spilled cargo of sailing ships. Walking the beach in Thoreau's time could be a macabre adventure. His account of Cape Cod begins with coming across the wreck of the St. John at Cohasset. The livid, swollen, mangled bodies were etched into his memory, and he noted that there are more consequences to a shipwreck than the underwriters notice. Once the people had done all they could for the survivors, the wreckers would scavenge whatever goods washed ashore, food, timbers, clothing. Today, human remains are not littering the beaches of Cape Cod, but these sands are still, as Thoreau noted, strewn with crabs, horseshoes, and razor clams, and whatever the sea casts up, a vast morgue. How strange, even disturbing, that we walk the beach for pleasure, marveling at the signs of death and collecting the remains. For what else is a seashell but the crypt of a dead animal? But then, I recall the excitement in coming across the skull of a pronghorn on a prairie walk. Perhaps our intimate engagement with a seaside morgue is not so incomprehensible. Given the antiseptic distance that our culture puts between the living and the dead, maybe we crave contact with vivid reminders of mortality. Hollywood corpses and video game blood are nowhere near as existentially captivating and darkly enchanting as the death gape of a surf-twisted pelican with an outstretched wing anchored in the sand. But the beach and prairie are not just littered with bodies. They're truly littered with litter. For Cape Cod gleaners in the 19th century, the refuse was a boon. Ropes, planks, barrels, and sailcloth were all repurposed in a grim tribute to human ingenuity. But not today. At low tide after a storm, my walk along the national seashore was like a stroll through a garbage heap. I came across tangles of nylon netting and rope, water bottles, a rubber glove, a plastic fork and plate, a Mylar balloon, a tennis ball, and countless shards of plastic and wads of bags. While the waves gather junk and deposit it along the beaches, Wyoming's trash is swept up by the winds and deposited in the miles of barbed wire fencing. The trash of beaches and prairies tells the story of human economy. In the 1800s, shipwrecks and weather-beaten farmsteads were scattered across Massachusetts and Wyoming. The petroleum economy of the 20th century supplanted the wood economy. Now, Cape Cod is littered with plastic garbage, and Wyoming is littered with petro-junk. Hundreds of gas wells were abandoned after the natural gas boom moved to North Dakota. So it is that Wyoming's fossil fuels, we still produce more than any other state, are transformed into the seashore trash of Cape Cod. Thoreau wrote about the globalization of shipwreck remains. The Gulf Stream may return some bodies to their native shores or drop them in some out-of-the-way cave in the ocean, where time and the elements will write new riddles with their bones. If only I could imagine such a romantic fate for the remains of carboniferous organisms transformed into oil and converted into the plasticized bones of a 2-liter bottle. My walks along the tidal edge did, however, sometimes yield hopeful discoveries. Sea glass, the frosted, smoothed fragments of broken bottles. Nature found a way to soften these bits of trash. So perhaps we can imagine that polystyrene fragments will one day transform into things of beauty. But until then, we might work on putting less ugliness into the world.